to again continue present study, which is how to study the Bible. We've been looking at observation of details. We're looking at parts of speech or individual words. We've come to verbs, which are very easy to recognize, of course. We all recognize a verb when we see one, for the most part. There are five types of verbs which we have looked at. Every verb has a voice, which we looked at last week, which indicates whether the subject of the verb is acting or is acted upon. That, of course, is extremely important. Fall into some very serious doctrinal errors if you miss the voice of a verb. Voice is two parts, of course: active voice, which the subject is the producer of the action, and then passive voice, the subject is being acted upon. So every verb has a voice. Every verb has a mood. Every verb has a tense. And today we want to look at the mood of a verb, which is simply the manner in which the action or condition is, how we would conceive it or how it is expressed. There are five moods of verbs, and we'll briefly look at each one and give some examples. There's the indicative mood, which simply expresses a fact, expresses a reality. Again, Jesus wept would be indicative mood. It's just an expression of a fact. Some of the verses we looked at last week, if we go back there in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, these would be indicative mood. But God commendeth his love toward us. We see, we've already seen, it's active voice. God is the producer of the action. God commendeth his love toward us. That's indicative mood. It's just expressing a fact. It is expressing a reality. In the last part of the verse, it says, Christ died for us. Again, we saw that died there is active voice. He's the one doing, and we see that it is indicative mood. That is, it's just an expression of a fact. It is reality. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, another verse that we looked at last week, for he hath made him to be sin for us. Again, he hath made him to be sin. That is active voice. It's also indicative mood. Just the simple expression of a fact. In Ephesians chapter 1, another verse that we looked at last week, we see that he hath blessed us, which again is active voice. He's the producer of the blessings. But it's indicative. It's just the expression of a fact. So you get the idea. We could go on and give many other examples, but it's just a statement of fact. And we see there's the imperative mood. Something that must be done, an action that must be done. Notice in John chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, ye must be born again. That's imperative. The verb there is in the imperative mood. Ye must be. Be is the verb. Be born. Ye must be born again. It's imperative. It's in other words, it's absolutely necessary. That also, by the way, is in the passive voice. We are being acted upon. And the we, of course, have spoken about that many times. In John chapter 3, John chapter 3 again, and notice verse 14, John 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The verb, of course, is be, lift it, but it's imperative. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So it's something that has to happen. John chapter 3, verse 30, John speaking of his ministry, Christ's ministry, he says, he, speaking of Christ, must increase. That is, his ministry must increase. I must decrease. So again, increase, decrease are the verbs, and we see they're imperative. They're absolutely necessary. And John chapter 4, John chapter 4 and verse 4, and he must needs go through. Go, of course, is the verb. But again, must shows that it's imperative. It was absolutely necessary for Christ to go through Samaria. Now, there's doctrinal truth there in that simple imperative statement. It doesn't simply say he wanted to go to Samaria. I believe through Samaria, I believe he did, but it says he must. And the reason, of course, was the woman that he would save at the well. So there's the indicative, there's the imperative, there's the interrogative, which of course asks a question connected with a verb. In Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, and verse 38. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? Are's the verb. Why are, this speaks of a state of being. The state of being was troubled. But it's interrogative. It's a question. Why are ye troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Again, you would look for the word why, what, who. These are interrogative mood. Notice in John chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 19, John chapter 1, verse 19, last part of the verse, who art thou? Art's the verb. Who art thou? State of being. Verse 22, then they said unto him, who art thou? Another interrogative, that we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? Sayest, of course, is the verb. What shows that a question is being asked. And any time Christ is asked a question, or anybody else as far as that's concerned in the Word of God, we ought to be interested in the answer. How did they answer the question? So again, or did they answer the question? Then, of course, there's conditional mood. A condition is set upon a particular verb. Notice in John chapter 6, John chapter 6, verse 51. I am, We've already seen this. Am is a verb. States a state of being, always followed by a noun. Have to be something. I am the bread. That's what he is, which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread, verse 51, which came down from heaven. If, that's a condition. A condition is about to be stated. If any man eat, that's the verb, it's active voice, something he does. If any man eat of this bread, what bread? I am the living bread. If any man eat of this bread, talking about Jesus Christ, he, who's the he? Goes back to any man. Goes back to the condition. He shall live forever. So here's the promise. He shall live forever. But there's a condition. And almost all the promises in God's word are conditional. Not all of them, but most of them are conditional. There's conditions set. People like to, especially when it comes to the subject of prayer, they like to claim promises that they do not meet the conditions of. Or they like to quote promises to people, and those people do not meet the conditions thereof. So it's important that we observe conditions. So we have a promise, he shall live forever, if any man eat. There's the condition. If any man eat of this bread, Jesus Christ, he shall live forever. John chapter 7, verse 17. If, there's a condition, any man will do, there's the verb. If any man will do his will, he, who's the he? It's the any man who does his will. He shall know of the doctrine. Well, that is teaching us. Again, the promise is he shall know of the doctrine. He shall know of the teaching. He shall know of the truth. The way to come to more truth is to practice the truth that you know. And that's what this is talking about. If any man will do his will, do what he knows to be right, he shall know of the doctrine. He'll also be able to distinguish between true and false, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Again, a condition. If. Notice in verse 37. Verse 37. Last part of the verse. If any man thirst, there's a condition. Thirst. If any man thirst, now, again, without getting in a separate study, the Bible says there's none that seeketh after God. So something must happen before a man will thirst. But if any man thirst, let him come unto me. He's not going to come. The condition is thirst. Let him come unto me and drink. In John chapter 10, John chapter 10 and verse 9. I am the door. Again, Jesus, I am. There's a verb followed by a noun. I am the door. By me, two very, very important words. I am the door. It does not say, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. That's not what it says. That changes the whole thing. If you skip those two words. I am the door. By me. And then there's a condition. If any man enter in, the promise is he shall be saved. But he cannot be saved unless he enters in, and he can only enter in by him, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And then a verse that Brother Dennis read this morning, and we'll use it as an example also. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if, there's a condition, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You have to be in Christ before you can be a new creature. You do not make yourself a new creature. There are no new creatures outside of Jesus Christ. So we have the indicative mood, we have the imperative mood, we have the interrogative mood, we have the conditional mood, a mood of where a condition is set, and then lastly, and we'll stop, is the subjunctive, which basically expresses a doubt, a wish, or it can be hypothetical. And again, it's very important when reading anything that we recognize hypothetical language, that we recognize when a doubt or a wish is being stated. And again, we see this throughout the Scriptures. In 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 2, he says, as if I were present. That would be subjunctive mood. Or in Genesis 16 and verse 2, it may be. It may be. That's subjunctive. It may be that I may obtain children by her. That is subjunctive mood. So we have to recognize verbs, but we need to recognize their voice, we need to recognize their mood, and we need to recognize their tense. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, we do pray today that you'd be with Sister Renee, that you would help her, Lord, that you would cause her at this very hour to feel your presence, Lord, to feel your nearness. We just pray that you would relieve her of the pain that she's in, and Lord, that you would just help her as only you can. And Lord, we pray that you would be with us today in our service, that we would worship you in a way that would please and glorify thee. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.